he's got. The fight of faith. You know, one of the things about the fight of faith is that one of the characteristics of the fight of faith is willing to do whatever it takes. You know, if we're not willing to do whatever it takes, we're not fighting faith. We're not fighting the fight of faith. In other words, that fight of faith means that we've got to fight to keep the faith. Does everybody understand that? You're not fighting against faith. You're fighting to keep the faith. Amen? So it's the fight of faith. Would you turn to Ephesians 6, please? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, praise be to God. The fight of faith. Is everybody there? Read it with me, starting at verse 10 to 16. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stop. There it is. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. In other words, not your own. Be strong in the Lord and not in yourself, and the power of His might and not your own. That means not your wisdom, not your knowledge, not your understanding, but that of the Lord. There's a difference. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we see that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness. But what are we fighting powers of darkness in? We're fighting not only in the spiritual realm, but we're fighting to keep our faith. Does everybody understand that? Yes, we have to cast out devils and so forth. We have to bind strong men. We have to do our spiritual warfare. But you got to understand something. They're trying to disqualify me and you from our faith. So we must stand strong to fight the good fight of faith. Let's go further. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, that's powerful. It says the shield of faith. So we see that faith is a shield. It protects us, doesn't it? It's a shield that's going to protect me and you from the fiery darts of the evil one. It says all the fiery darts. So depending where your faith is at, depends on how many darts get through. Hello? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the who? So we got to understand that here it is. We're fighting principalities, powers of darkness, and so forth. He's throwing darts at me and you. We must be built up, stirred up, and stand on faith. Faith is what stops the fiery darts, all of them. So what are on these fiery darts? Doubt, fear, unbelief, confusion, frustration, sicknesses, diseases, you name it, they're on that fiery dart. Whatever he can penetrate through, drugs, alcohol, perversion, anything he can do to get through. So we've got to understand truly about faith and about the shield of faith. And we're going to talk more about it. So we see that the shield is a defense, isn't it? You know what the shield of faith is doing? It's protecting the truth. The shield of faith protects the truth. And it's protecting the truth from the fiery darts, because the one thing that the Bible tells us is that it's truth that sets me and you free. If the devil can turn the truth around, you get bound again. So in true reality, you know what we're doing? Our fight is not seeing, but it's hearing, isn't it? Does everybody understand that? Our fight is not seeing. You're not fighting what you can see. You're fighting what you hear. Let me repeat that. You're not fighting what you see. You're fighting what you hear. Amen? So we need to have the shield of faith, which protects the truth from fiery darts. Because what he's trying to do is disqualify me and you from walking in the truth in any way he can. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's why when so many people say, well, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, and then they get to a point they're not willing to do whatever it takes, is because a fiery dart has come and disqualified the truth. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to get somewhere tonight.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. We're going to take ground. We're going to take ground. That's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. So the heavenly is taken by force. We've got to take the ground, and then we've got to stand. That's the difference between offense and defense, right? We have to attack. After we attack, we stand so that it's not taken. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Well, why would they depart from the faith? He's going to tell you. Giving what? Heed to deceiving spirits. That means they heard something, didn't they? And what? Doctrines of demons. You know how many times people read something and get deceived? Listen, speaking lies in what? Hypocrisy, having their own what? Conscience seared with a hot iron. Sizzled out, burned out. What's been burned out? What's been disqualified? The truth. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who what? Believe and know the truth. So they're just getting disqualified, aren't they? Because they're taking heed to deceiving spirits and they begin to do their own commands or doctrines of men, which is known as doctrines of demons. So we see that begins to disqualify the truth. And you know what happens when that happens? They go back into bondage. How many letters Paul wrote to his churches saying, listen, especially the Jews that were born again, and they'd go back into the bondage of law. And he'd say, come on, man, get back out of there. You're going to disqualify yourself. You're going to fall from grace by going back under the law. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we see here that they're going to depart from the faith, speaking what they hear, amen, and reading false doctrines. Some of them are writing down false doctrines of what they hear. That's what the New Age movement is, isn't it? I mean, look at Darwin, right? I mean, he was a Bible believer. He listened to the voice of the stranger, and out of man's wisdom, he believed that man came from an animal. How many people he disqualified by the truth by convincing them that they were from an animal, which disqualified the truth of the Bible, and people set down the Bible and that was it. Much blood was on that man's hands. Oh, hallelujah. So it says, believe God created from foods that which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who want, believe and know the truth. Now those who believe and know the truth have faith, don't they? So you see that it's been disqualified. Does everybody understand that? Okay, let's go further. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Oh, praise you, Lord. Let's read it. 6 through 9. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, wait a minute. We walk by faith, not by sight. So we know that faith is a representation of truth. Because you and I walk by truth, don't we? The thing is if truth gets disqualified, we lose faith, don't we? Okay. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Now, we want to be well-pleasing to Him, don't we? Regardless of whether we're here or we're not. Whether we're home, remember, this is in our home, hello? Whether we're home or we're here, we want to be well-pleasing to Him, don't we? Praise God. In Hebrews 11, I'm not going to get into a teaching of faith, but of course I got to share a couple little things of it. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, read it with me, and then we're going to reread it again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I want you to reread this. Now don't get goofy on me. I'm not changing the word. I'm sharing with you what the Spirit is sharing. Now I want you to remove the comma that says things hoped for. And I want you to read it all the way and put the comma after the word evidence. Okay? Now let's read that all the way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's different, ain't it? But in true reality, it's a parallel. But what is faith? Faith is the hope for the evidence, isn't it? Isn't faith a representation of evidence of something? In other words, what you've done is you've taken truth and acted on it and it became evident. That's what faith is. Has everybody got it? Because faith is actually tangible. It's actually tangible. It's a representation of an action or an act. You won't believe something, you won't do something you don't believe, do you? The problem is faith can only manifest in its own reality of truth of God before something manifests. Is everybody with me? Okay, let's read it again. What was just how it was just read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Aren't you hoping for the evidence? That's what faith is. So you're taking a truth and hoping for the evidence, aren't you? In fact, you're looking for the evidence. Has everybody got it? Okay, let's go on. For by it the elders, what? Obtained a good testimony. Praise God. Why? Because there was evidence, wasn't there? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. There was evidence, wasn't there? Oh, let's go on. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now, you got to understand something. He could not offer up something he didn't know which was truth. Because mom and dad knew exactly what pleased God. Adam and Eve knew. Because the Lord did it in the garden before they left. Didn't the Lord sacrifice an animal? Killed an animal, right? Gave him wine, gave him skins, didn't he? From an animal. So they knew what pleased God. Has everybody got it? So we know that who pleased God here? Abel offered up a more sacrifice, better sacrifice than Cain. Because Abel did what the truth was that pleased God. Cain didn't. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, how are you going to please God? By faith. But listen, you're not going to please God by sitting and twiddling your thumbs, are you? That's not showing that you're pleasing God, is it? So, Enoch had to please God in his actions, in his attitude. Amen? Because what was spoken to him, he believed. He took the truth, and he didn't let it get disqualified. He did not fall from the faith. And he held on to it. Does everybody understand that? And God counted it pleasing to him. And he took him. He took him home. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Is everybody all right? Let's go to verse 6. Come on, it's just starting to get good. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. First of all, you got to believe that he is. Well, there'd have to be some kind of revelation that he is. That's where everyone has an experience, don't they? Whether it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a visitation, something. A revelation that brought the experience that they know that he is. And then they go to him because they know that he listens, they know that he's faithful, and they know that he's going to do something. So when they go to him, because they know the truth, they ask and expect. And you know what they're looking for? The evidence. That's faith. Far be it that when people write letters to Santa Claus, they get anything, right? Well, some people pray that way. Amen. They write a letter to Santa Claus and don't expect nothing. And you know what? They don't get nothing. Because they're not praying in faith. And let me share something with you. God will give you some kind of evidence. A while back, you know, as the Lord began to change my prayer language in intercession, and I began to pray for all kinds of things. I mean, Lord, rescue those bound by drugs, alcohol, prostitution, homosexuality, this, that, whatever, you know. And Lord, please visit this person the next time. I mean, it would be like, and they'd come to my house every once in a while, or we'd hear something about somebody getting rescued, and I just knew in my spirit that there was that prayer, because every time I pray, I expect it. Does everybody understand that? Now, I might not see it, but somewhere down the line, I'm going to get an evidence which is going to keep me praying. Amen. Because the Lord wants to give us evidence, doesn't he? That's what increases our faith. So faith can be increased, can't it? You know when your faith is up, and you know when your faith is down. And when it's down, you better go get some more. Go to verse 32. Is everybody there? Let's read it. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and the Barak, Samson and Jehoshaphat, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned flight the armies of the aliens. Does everybody got that? By what? Faith. Because they acted on what they knew was truth. They overtook kingdoms. They did all kinds of stuff, didn't they? I mean, come on, Gideon thought he was a wimp. And the Lord showed up to him and said, man of valor. He was like, what? You talking to me? He got revelation, didn't he? He's like, whoa, give me a sign. Am I on candid camera? You know? He said, give me a sign. Right? Am I supposed to do this? And what did the Lord do? He gave him a sign, didn't he? He laid out the fleece. And God, but he acted in faith, didn't he? He acted in faith because the Lord spoke to him. He said, okay, give me a sign, if I may. And then he begged the Lord, basically pleaded with him for the other ones. Okay, I see this one, but you know, I want to really make sure it's you. You know, when my wife and I were going to get remarried, I asked by faith for a sign. Amen? We both of us did. We wanted to make sure it was God's will. And he gave us a sign that, I don't know, there was a sign plus a sign plus a sign. You know, there was just no doubt. We knew right away, okay, let's do it. You know. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. He brought Eve back home. Hi, honey. Glory to God. So praise God. So faith is a representation of acting on truth, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen? It's a representation of acting on truth. Go to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Praise be to God. The fight of faith. Oh. And you thought you've been fighting these demons all the time, and we lose sight that they're just trying to quench our faith, aren't they? They're trying to disqualify truth, aren't they? That's what it's about. I mean, in true reality, that's what it's all about. You know, we're fighting what we hear, isn't it? I mean, that's where low esteem comes from, fear, doubt, unbelief, all of that. It's come from what someone hears. Then they run, they go astray because their faith has been quenched. And they get frustrated, don't know what to do, turn back to the old ways, the old man, because the old man's always waiting there with open arms. Come to me. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 10 and verse 13. Let's read it. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? There we go to that believe. And how shall they believe in him of whom they what? Ah, there it goes with hearing. And how should they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now understand, it's hearing the Word of God. Now the Bible says that there were three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Faith comes by hearing, not reading. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Because even the devil tried to trick Jesus, didn't he?
Amen.
By the letter.
Amen.
Now, when the devil was tempting Jesus, didn't he speak to him? So, there's a difference between hearing and assuming, isn't there? So when people assume, they get in trouble. That's why the first rule in the discipleship house is do not assume. Because if you can't get that underneath your belt, you'll always stumble. Don't assume. You don't know what to do, don't do anything. Ask. Amen? But you and I want to hear. So faith comes by hearing. In other words, God has told you to do something. You know it's God. Then you move on it. Because the Bible is known as the testimony of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? It is the testimony of the Lord. That's why the Bible says the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. Because the Word testifies of God Almighty, doesn't it? But you want to have a relationship, not within the testimony, but with the one who is. Does everybody understand that? That's the difference between religion and relationship.
Amen?
Amen? People are still looking for God in the Bible. This is the testimony of Him. God is Spirit, not letter. Amen? That's why when you're filled with the Spirit and you have a relationship with the Lord, it's totally different, isn't it? Now what He's telling you will testify what's in here. So you don't look for God in the Word, you look to Him, and then He gives witness of His Word, of what He's told you. There's the difference. Does everybody understand that? That's the difference between religion. People go to school to learn the Bible, but they never met Him. They know all about Him, because this is a testimony. But they never met Him. So truly, in relationship, you shall never stumble.
Amen.
In a true relationship with God Almighty, we shall never stumble. I'm talking about break covenant. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't mean that you might say something to someone you shouldn't, but you're going to be quick to repent, aren't you? Because you know the truth. In fact, even repentance is acting in faith. Does everybody understand
Amen.
That? So that's an act of faith, isn't it? So that's why repentance pleases God. Because you're repenting because you know that He hears you. You wouldn't repent if you didn't know He hears you. You continue to do what you're doing. Amen? Well, you don't hear me. Well, that's baloney. You know He hears you. Right? Or else you wouldn't have said, Lord, forgive me. Especially when you drop the hammer on your foot and say something you shouldn't. And most of us just don't go, oh, bless the Lord. Now, you might speak His name, but I don't know which direction it will be. Hello?
Amen.
You know, people, we're still, unfortunately, flesh creatures.
Amen.
I mean, foolish flesh creatures. Amen.
Amen.
And you're going to act foolish flesh creatures. You know, you can put on the holiness only so long, but your real who you are is going to manifest.
Amen?
Amen. Because we're real here.
Hallelujah.
It's real.
Amen.
It's no fake. It's no nothing. We talk about real issues and real things that are happening in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Well, because we want God to have access to us in every area. Where there's no reality of truth to someone and a relationship with the Lord, you're pushing Him out. Pushing Him out. So we want truth. Keeps an open line of communication always. Hallelujah. Okay. So we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word or the voice of God. Amen? It's hearing the voice of God. Hello? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Romans 4. So faith comes by hearing the voice of God. Has everybody got it? Glory to God. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's read starting at verse 16 to, 21. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Oh, now grace is a representation of favor. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, God was expressing faith, wasn't he? Calling those things that don't exist as though they did. You and I move in the same way, don't they? We call those things that are not as though they are. That's faith. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of the many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. So you got to remember, he was 100 years old. His wife was 100 years old, somewhere around there. I mean, they weren't, you know, too sexually active at that period of time. Hello? But God made the promise. And you know what? He acted on it. Hello? Come on, in faith. Oh, man, don't talk about that kind of stuff. Yes, they became one flesh. Hello? They were fulfilling the will of God, weren't they? Verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, he acted on it. He said, he didn't go, oh man, I'm too old for this stuff, Lord. But what did he do? The Lord told him. He heard, didn't he? He acted on faith comes by what?
Hearing.
He acted on that faith. You don't think the devil tried to tell him, man, you're too old for this stuff. No, man, just forget it. Hello? Just forget it. Now, the devil almost got it, didn't he? Because Sarah's faith got quenched, but then Abraham listened. Right? And went into her maid. Right? And she got pregnant. But then eventually, praise God for Abraham, he didn't give up. Hallelujah. And a promised seed came. Glory to God. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was praising God. Yes, glory! I mean, you know, you and I are going to go glory at the age of 102 at that time. Glory! Yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, go to verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. So we see that faith manifested favor here, didn't it? Manifested favor. So there was an action, wasn't there? God told him, and he acted on it. Now we know it was righteous according to the will of God. So don't get flaky on me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Only God. Praise be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody there? Let's do it. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his what? Oh, I'm in Hebrews. Hold on. Back up. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, I like that too. Praise God. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. In other words, do it. Do it. Come on. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Now listen, you know why they're taking heed to deceiving spirits, aren't they? And they will turn their ears away from the what? Ah, because now they're quenching the faith. Truth is being dissolved. Shield of faith isn't up. You know, they got them to lay down their shields, you know. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? I see how it was twisted around? Totally twisted around, wasn't it? He said, but you be what? Watchful in all things. What? Endure what? Afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that's what it's about, isn't it? Keeping the faith. So you got to understand that our fight is to keep the faith, isn't it? We're fighting to keep the faith. You can go to Titus chapter 1. Titus 1. Is everybody there? Chapter 4. No, Titus 1, I'm sorry. Verse 10. Chapter 4, right. Titus 1 and verse 10. Let's read it. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole household, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. You understand that? You know how many people don't believe that God can heal today? You know how many people don't believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available and the gifts of the Spirit? You know why? Because the truth has been twisted, hasn't it? In fact, it's been separated. It's been washed away by what? Doctrines of men, or known as doctrines of demons. Heed, voice of a stranger, deceiving spirits. I mean, you know, you can see in the body of Christ right now, there are organizations which are supposed to be organisms, We're supposed to be an organism, the whole thing, aren't we? But there are organizations instead of living organisms that are not willing to allow the Spirit to have His way. So what they've done is they've quenched the truth. And because they don't believe in it, there's no faith in it. So nobody gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
That's why Paul, when he went to Ephesus and ran into some disciples, he wanted to know if they did they get the Holy Ghost when they believed. And they said, we didn't know the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? That's no different than someone saying you can't have the Holy Ghost. Or you already have the Holy Ghost when you believe. That's ridiculous. Not that the Spirit of God isn't working on our behalf, but there's a difference in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we see that the truth had been washed away, quenched. So there's no faith where there's no truth. Hello? So what we're trying to do is keep the truth. Amen? We're trying to hold on to the truth. That's why our fight, we must fight the fight of faith so that the truth doesn't get removed. Because truth is what makes us free, keeps us free. Hello? As you and I walk in the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Sounds good? Praise God. Let's go on to James chapter 2. Glory, hallelujah. James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Let's read it. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Wow. That's powerful. You know, many people are going around, well, I have Jesus, I'm done. And they're going to wake up in hell. Because they're still practicing lawlessness. Does everybody understand that? Who you serve when you die is where you go. A lot of people disagree with that. But if you have a relationship with the Lord, you'll understand it. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Here, let me pray for you. You need this? Well, let me pray for you, even though you got a storehouse of it. Man, tell me that don't offend the Lord. And verse 17. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Why? Because faith is a representation of acting on the truth. Amen? That's right. There's the evidence, isn't it? You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Oh, hallelujah. Let's keep going. But was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? That was faith, wasn't it? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect, or representation of complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Why? Because when God told him, he believed it, and he did it. That's why the Bible warns us, those who are hearers and not doers, woe unto you. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Wow. So people are claiming that they believe Jesus, and they're claiming that they have the faith to be saved, but yet they're still serving the devil.
Amen.
That's not faith. That's stupidity. Hello? That's deception, isn't it? They're taking heed of the voice of the stranger because they know the truth and refuse to do it or act on it. And then they try and twist the scriptures and justify what they're doing. Those are the ones that will come to the Lord and they'll say, oh, but I cast out devils, prophesied to this. And he said, depart from me, I don't know you, because you still practice lawlessness. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 25. Likewise was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Why? Because she believed, didn't she? And she acted on it. For as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, there are people trying to do works to justify their faith. Do you understand that? That's different. It's faith with works. Amen? Not just works. Because there are people doing works out there and don't know the truth. They're not accounted as faith. Does everybody get it? There's a lot of false religions out there working to get people into their congregation, aren't they? But it isn't true. So that's not faith. God doesn't count that as faith, does he? So you must have truth with action, which is faith. Let's read verse 26 again in James 1, chapter 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Dead also. Hallelujah. Okay. Now the word believe means to what? Follow. If you don't believe, you don't follow. There's a lot of believers out there who aren't following. They're liars. It's real simple. And what they're following is the dictates of their own hearts, and that's not counted as faith. It's counted as deception, isn't it? Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. And there will be many who fall from the faith. You know, some of us have fallen from the faith ourselves. Fallen in deception. Disqualified the truth. Got tormented. Amen. Got deceived, thought we were no good. I mean, there was a time when some people tried to kill themselves. Man, that's it, I had it. I'm just going to wipe out my life and end it. They almost went faith in the wrong way. It was the wrong faith. Amen? You know, there will be days sometimes when you fall from the faith. There'll be a circumstance or a decision that you need to make that you're going to fall from the faith. Does everybody understand that? But that's where you have to stand, and we're going to talk more about this. Because even decisions have to be made in faith, don't they? So that means you better hear before you make a decision. Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Oh, we're getting somewhere. Not by what? Assuming. But by hearing. Yeah, but I thought that's what happened. Hello?
Hello.
Good. Hebrews chapter 2. Just for me and you. Verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You notice that when you begin to drift away. In fact, you can watch people drift away. In other words, their faith has just been drained. They've gotten a woe is me. Does everybody understand that? Let me tell you something. When the devil gets a few darts in and you're down, he shows up with the harpoons. He doesn't back off. He wants you dead. He wants you dead. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So we need to hear, don't we? We need to hear. So we must be careful not to what? Drift away. Drift away. Can't drift away. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Verse 12. Well, let's start somewhere else. Let's go to Hebrews 3, verse 7. Is everybody there? Oh, this is good here. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Let's read it. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice and not harden your hearts as in rebellion, in a day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You know what? Without faith, you can't enter his rest. You can't enter his rest. That's why we're fighting the fight of faith, aren't we? Because that's the shield that protects the truth. Hello? In verse 12. Did you ever notice that when the darts penetrate, you get anxious? You get worried? You start to worry? You get frightened? You get, woe is me? I have to do something? You just lost the rest. That's a sure sign that a dart just got through the shield. Because you know the truth. This is where we have to back up, get cleaned up, get filled up, get stirred up, and get straightened up. Amen? And not puffed up. In verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we hold. While it is said, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Hallelujah. So that's an if we hold, isn't it? Go to Acts 6. Whoa. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6. Praise be to God. In verse 3. Is everybody all right? Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And saying this same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That's sufficient for me. A man full of faith in the what? You know what? He knew the truth and was acting on it, wasn't he? And he was keeping himself filled with the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? And they chose him, didn't they? And he did wonderful works. God used him greatly. But we have to be full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So it's our responsibility to stay filled. The Bible says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I wonder if these organizations ever read that part. Don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is talking about, let's start at verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, which is an overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Amen. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. So you know what? Everyone's tested before offices. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For those who have served well are deacons, obtain from themselves a good standing and great boldness in faith, which is in Jesus, or Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So our faith is going to be tested. Does everybody understand that? In other words, your truth is going to be tested. That's, Jesus was tested by Satan. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 4 that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. In fact, here, even in the discipleship house, we send guys back out into the wilderness, into the labor pool, so that they can be tested. Amen? Because if you can't make it there, there's no sense of you going to a real job, because you ain't going to make it there either. Amen? So you need to go to the labor pool to get tested. God's going to test us. He tests us why we're here. Believe me, we get tested at home. We get tested all over the place. God is testing us. He's allowing demonic activity to test us, so that we know where we're at. He knows where we're at. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen. Not only was Jesus tested in three areas, known as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. Okay? But there are three areas besides that you and I are tested in faith. In Hebrews 10, 35. Hebrews 10, 35. The three areas that we are tested in faith is number one. We're going to talk about them. Endurance from temptation. Endurance from temptation. Number two, steadfast from weariness. Number one, endurance from temptation. Number two, steadfast from weariness. And number three, waiting on God from the trickery of the devil. Should I repeat those? Number one, endurance from temptation. Number two, steadfast from weariness. Number three, waiting on God from the trickery of the devil. I want to talk about endurance from temptation. Hebrews 10:35. Oh, wow. I see some hearts beginning to get it. 35. Is everybody there? 35 through 39. Let's read it together. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith. But if anyone breaks or draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen? That's the endurance. Now go to Hebrews 4. Endurance from temptation. Yes, this is still endurance from temptation. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, the devil doesn't want you to get there, does he? In other words, when a dart penetrates, he wants it to increase the wound, harpoon you, so that you don't run to God. And you try and figure it out and fix it out and work it out yourself. Amen. Then we get in more trouble. Amen. In other words, we didn't endure the temptation, did we? Amen. In fact, the temptation overtook us. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now we're talking about steadfast from weariness. Steadfast from weariness. Glory to God. In verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Do you ever hear, man, you're the only one going through it? Why me? Why always me? That's a dart. Has everybody got it? That's a dart that's just penetrated. Why always me? It always happens to me. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Steadfast and from weariness. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. in verse 7? Is everybody there? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Ooh. Believe me, you sow deception, you reap deception. You sow faith, you reap faith. That's a law, isn't it? For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen? Amen. Psalm 37, verse 3. Come on, read it with me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. You know what? Did you ever wonder where the word faithful came from? It's full of faith. Someone who's faithful is full of faith. Someone who's not faithful isn't full of faith. Amen? And we know that Jesus is faithful. And it says what? To feed on His faithfulness. You feed on His faithfulness, you'll walk in faith. Did everybody get it? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart, because they'll be His desires. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. In other words, you're not going to see it anymore. Amen? You won't see it anymore. So we must wait on the Lord. It says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? Peace, because they've entered that rest, haven't they? Waiting. You know what you're waiting on? When you don't know what to do, you wait on the Lord, because you must understand that there is a trap set for you. The Bible says that the Spirit tells us things to come. Amen? You know, I was driving down the road the other day, and I didn't have my seatbelt on. Now, my wife's car has a seatbelt that automatically comes, and Mom's car doesn't. So every once in a while, I'll put it on. And I was at the red light, and I was just talking to the Lord. Something was up. And He said to me, Guy, put your seatbelt on. I said, okay. And I was putting my seatbelt on, and He gave me a vision, and I saw a police officer on a motorcycle. And he let me know he was down the street. I said, okay. So I did it. As soon as I turned the corner, there he was, on a motorcycle. Hello? He rescued me, didn't he? Amen. Now I could have just said, well, you know, whatever. Is that you, Lord? And you wouldn't be telling me something like, Lord, wait a minute now. Now let me tell you something. Someone that doesn't have a relationship would be going, let's see. Let me look in the Bible. Motorcycle, police officer. Man, it ain't in there. Must not be God. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, I can tell you stuff. Whoo, blow your mind. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6. So we have to wait on God, because the devil's always trying to get us in a trick. But the Bible says the Spirit tells us things to come. And the Holy Spirit told me something to come, didn't He? because there was a trap waiting for me. So when you don't know what to do, you got to wait. Is this the job or isn't the job? Is this the husband? Is this the wife? Or it isn't? You don't know, you wait. Is this what I'm supposed to do or is it? You don't know, you wait. You do not walk in assumption. People call faith assumption. And they say, well, man, and they find themselves in all kinds of trouble. Well, man, I walked out in faith. No, you didn't. You walked out on assumption. You didn't hear from God. Or you wouldn't have gotten in trouble. You wouldn't be in this. Remember, the Lord is in the multiplying business. Amen? He's in the multiplying business. He's a wonderful businessman. He knows exactly how to run the kingdom of God. Amen? So we cannot walk anymore in assuming. We must walk in faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we going? I'm listening. Ephesians 6. Praise be to God. We're working on the waiting on God from the trickery of the devil. And trickery from the environment. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. What does it say? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil, which means trickery of the devil. Hello. Go to Ephesians 4. In verse 11. Praise God. Two more scriptures. Hang in there. Wait on God. Steadfast. Amen. Endure. Come on, your faith is being tested tonight. Yeah, but you don't know how early I got to get up. Come on, don't let that doubt penetrate. Don't let that doubt penetrate. The Bible says, quicken me, Lord. That's the truth, right? Hallelujah. Yeah, but you don't know how I feel. I'm going to get rid of it. Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's for me and you, brothers and sisters. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Those are called darts. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Whoa-wee. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, one more verse, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And let's start in verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Come on. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may be present, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Faith. We are fighting the fight of faith. Willing to do whatever it takes. Protecting the truth. Keep your faith built up. Protecting the truth. That you may walk in the Spirit as a sign and wonder to those and pleasing to God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Hallelujah.